Hello, folks. I am Vincent. This is Nerd One. And today's episode, we're reviewing Avatar 2. Yes, I saw it eventually. Ant-Man 3, Quantumania. And some thoughts on upcoming Disney projects. So sit down, buckle up, we're gonna nerd out. Ant-Man 3 has come out, and it's received mixed reviews, to be honest. According to the critics' score on Rotten Tomatoes, it is just as bad as the Eternals. And that's an insult. But on the other hand, the audience review is actually pretty decent. I mean, I think it's like an 83% right now for, you know, audience score, which is not bad. I mean, it's not, you know, anything that Marvel's done in its highest ratings, but it's not bad. And to be honest, the movie itself's not bad. You know, it brings back, you know, the whole cast. It has, you know, Paul Rudd there. We got Evangeline and Lily. We got, you know, Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer and someone new playing Cassie. I don't remember her name, but I know this is the third incarnation of her. And as we all know, the movie kind of takes place, you know, in the quantum realm, because it's called Quantumania. But to be honest, there's good parts and bad parts about this. Probably one of the worst parts is MODOK. Marvel, that was such a waste. I mean, you made him into, like, this comedy thing, and he wasn't even funny. He was annoying. And Even when things happened to him, he was just annoying. And he's kind of a bitch, too. Honestly, you know, Hope Van Dyne didn't really have much to do in this movie, just besides, like, kind of, like, staring around. I mean, there was, I think she helped Scott once or twice or something. But it was really a movie that revolved around, you know, Ant-Man, Kang, and, you know, Janet Van Dyne, because it was basically, like, Janet's backstory. You know, what happened to her in the quantum realm all those years? I think it was, like, 30 years she was in there. And, you know, after she left, what happened? And, you know, how Kang became, you know, basically there. And so also Michael Douglas didn't really do much either. I wanted him to do something more, but he was, like, more, he was just kind of there. But don't get me wrong, the movie was, you know, was decent. The way Paul Rudd and Jonathan Majors were playing off each other, it was solid. You know, they were holding the movie up. Like, they were probably the best parts of it. Paul Rudd was just, like, fully enveloped in it. You know, he had just some really awesome scenes with Jonathan Majors. That final battle was pretty awesome between the two. And yeah, so that was probably the highlight of the whole thing right there, was those two. Everyone else was kind of, it's like, okay, cool, but meh. So it kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, they probably could have trimmed out some of the characters and maybe saved some money on the budget. One more thing I kind of had a problem with the movie was it was so much CGI. I understand, you know, it's a fantastical world that they have gone into, but it seems like Marvel is slowly departing from having their characters in the real world to having their characters in a comic book world, if that makes sense. You know, one thing that gave a lot of appeal to Phase 1, 2, and even Phase 3 was it was grounded in the real world. Well, kinda. I mean, there were the, you know, like Thor, you know, the kind of the, you know, the godlike, you know, beings. I mean, there were, they were fine, but you still had, you know, consequences for Earth. But it seems like, you know, especially Ant-Man, it's like, it's just, it becomes more of a CGI fest. And to me, it's just a little much. I kind of want, I mean, I love CGI. I have no problem with it. But if it's used, like, well, if it's balanced, this one felt a little too unbalanced. And it kind of didn't suck, but it was just like, come on, guys. Really? But beyond that, love the new Ant-Man suit. It looked cool. Paul Rudd's always, you know, always fun. Yeah, so if you're looking for a decent Marvel movie to watch, I mean, go see it. Ant-Man 3, I mean, is the best Ant-Man movie? No. But, I mean, no. Because I would say the first one's probably the best movie, because that one was just, like, so well done. But anywho, yeah, if you're looking for a good time, go see Ant-Man. You won't be disappointed. Just get, you know, a good seat. And oddly enough, it depends on where you go. I saw it at the AMC theaters, and they had a Ant-Man helmet popcorn bucket. But there's no way I'm paying that kind of money for a souvenir bucket. I'm sorry. It's cheaper at Disneyland. Somehow. So I'm not sure if we covered this before, but there, it seems like Disney kind of on the path again of doing remakes of his classic movies. And basically it just seems like shot for shot remakes. Like they're trying to remake the exact movie they had before, but live action, you know, drowned in CGI. And I wonder at what point, when will people stop tuning in? Because, I mean, we had, you know, Lion King was shot-for-shot remake. Pinocchio was a shot-for-shot remake. All they're doing is they're just updating the actors, switching, you know, guys to girls or girls to guys. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. Because I didn't bother watching Pinocchio. I saw the trailer for it and I figured, you know what? I'm pretty sure the original was better, so I'm not going to waste my time. And I found out from other people, yeah, I used my time very well by not watching it. And now they have the Peter Pan and Wendy movie coming out, and that trailer just dropped, and I watched it, you know, because I mean, even though I don't have much faith in Disney's live-action remakes, I'll still watch the trailer just because it's one of those, why not? It could strike gold. It could strike interest in me. Who knows? But I saw it and I was like, I don't get it. Like, even Captain Hook doesn't look like Captain Hook. And I say this nicely because I want, okay, if you're going to take an existing property, expand it. Do something with it. Like, what was it? 1992? Was it Rob Williams and Gene Hackman? Did Hook. And it was amazing. I mean, I haven't seen it in like maybe a few years, but, you know, watching that movie, you know, as a kid, teenager, and as an adult, it was one of those, hey, they took the concept of Peter Pan and basically said, what if he gave up being Peter Pan? You know, the mischievous boy, you know, from Neverland, and decided to go human. What would happen? And then what would happen if Captain Hook came looking for his revenge? And the idea was like, all right, let's see this where this goes. And it was good. I mean, Rob Williams, you know, did a lot of amazing work. And then having Gene Hackman being, you know, just this, you know, this villain was just, that was good. And I don't see why they can't do that again. You know, I have no problems with continuing the story, but it seemed like all they want to do is just kind of reboot what they have, you know, update for modern audiences, you know, by doing whatever they want to do to it, and then just basically making it a shot-for-shot remake. And I don't understand why Disney wastes their time, because I know at first it did quite well for, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, I think Aladdin sucked. I'm sorry, but Aladdin sucked. The only thing it did was it gave a background on where Jasmine's mom went. And, spoiler, she died. Don't a lot of Disney moms die? Is that kind of weird? I don't know. What you got going on, Disney? Why are all these moms dying? Poor Bambi's mom. Anywho. Yeah, where's the live-action remake of Bambi? You know, the one starring The Rock and Vin Diesel? Come on, where are we at on that? Actually, it'll probably never happen. I think they hate each other now. Anywho. So, yeah, I don't see myself watching, you know, Peter Pan and Wendy. It was like Peter Pan versus Wendy? Ooh, that's interesting. Like, what's going to happen there? But no. So, I think it's one of those movies of, it's going to come out, and I will probably forget when it comes out. I'll probably never watch it unless I'm super bored. Or there's like, you know what? Someone told me it's just unbelievably amazing. Then I'll watch it. But as it stands right now, watching that trailer, I don't know. It just doesn't really catch my interest or my imagination. I mean, when I wish upon a star, I want originality. Something to it. As well as like, come on, Disney. You can do better. You've done better in the past. Be better. So, Dances with Smurfs came out. Avatar 2 came out. And, you know, it didn't take me 10 years to see it. Like Avatar 1 did. Yeah, I'm not joking. It literally took me almost 10 years to see the first Avatar movie. Why? Because I was kind of over it when it came out. Because it was so talked about and so, you know, so much stuff was going around it, advertising, people talking about it. I was like, I'm gonna wait. And then I did. For a while. Until I went to Disney World and they had the Avatar rides. And I was told, to understand the rides, you gotta see the movie. So I burned 3 hours of my life watching, you know, giant Smurf people. But then, now there's number two. Avatar 2 has arrived, and the world rejoices, and it's a better place because of it. Kinda. And if you're sensing sarcasm, haha, you have caught on to me, haven't you? But, because it... Okay, so, when the first Avatar movie came out, people were just in awe of the CGI. How clean and crisp it looks. Like, this is years beyond its technology, and it was. And I stress that it was. Now the CGI they have for Avatar 2 is common. So if you can't make a movie by wowing them with pretty scenes, you know, with glistening CGI, what do you gotta do? Write a good story, right? And this story for me just felt like, eh. I was like, it's kind of a classic struggle of, you know, a man wanting to protect his wife and kids, and there's a bad guy trying to hunt him down, and eventually the dad has to basically rise up to, you know, defeat the bad guy. Simple enough. But this one was just very, I don't know, had a lot of water in it. I guess that's why they call it the Way of Water. But it was something that was like, okay, that's good. But it wasn't like, oh, wow, my life has so much meaning now. Because I read some views online and some people had that response to this movie. I just can't see it. Like I said, I know I use the reference from South Park a lot, but it was just basically Smurfs growing up. And yeah, I mean, if they actually do release Avatar 3, 4, and 5, they better bring the shit. That's all I'm going to say. Because if they really want people to keep coming back to these, you can't be relying on the same thing. You can't be relying on the same formula. You gotta up the ante. And don't bring back the same bad guy again. I mean, there are so many more, you know, people who could be out there, you know, threatening, you know, the Na'vi and all that. I mean, we don't need to bring back the angry Marine from the first one again. Because though he died, somehow they made a memory backup that didn't tell us about. And they're able to port him into one of their, you know, Avatar bodies. And he's also a dick of a dad too. So there's that. So, I mean, like I said, I saw it. Did I love it? No. Did I hate it? No. It's something that happened. That's why I feel like this movie, it happened great, but would I see it again? Probably not. I mean, for me to sit on my ass for 3 hours and watch a movie these days, it's really hard to do. Like, you gotta really have my interest in it. Like I said before, and I'll say again, I can watch Endgame. No problem. I'll probably do Infinity War and Endgame back to back. Why? Because it has my interest. It has a good story. It has consequences. I mean, yeah. You know, having, you know, giant blue people jump around from barge to barge, you know, shooting arrows and swimming in the water is cool. That's cool to look at. But for me, it just doesn't make a good movie. So, sorry if you're someone who enjoyed the movie and I might be pissing you off right now. Wasn't for me. If you enjoyed it, glad you did. You know, I'll wait for Avatar 3 to come out and we'll see how that goes. Folks, I hope you enjoyed the show, but for now, that's all I have for today. So I just want to remind you, if you don't mind, please do share the episode. If you enjoyed it, feedback is always appreciated. nerd1podcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at nerd15, Instagram at nerd1podcast. But until next episode, you guys take care out there. Stay safe, wash your hands, stay clean. We'll talk to you soon, and please be nice to each other. Bye for now. So, one thing I have been meaning to watch, and I haven't watched, but I have finished the first season, now second season, well, working on second season, is Succession. And I gotta say, this is one really weird, twisted show where it's about a dad who's made this kind of, this empire, media empire, and he is, well, he has his children with him, his one son from, you know, from marriage, and three children from his past marriage, who are all kind of like with him in on this. And it's just about, like, I don't know, the children themselves is what it feels like. I mean, the dad's there. He's doing his thing. I mean, he's stubborn in his old ways, but it's odd how the show plays out. Because for the first season, it feels like that there wasn't one main focus of a character. I mean, main focus was kind of like an uprising in the company is what it felt like. Because you have, you know, the children, it's Kendall, Shiv, and Roman. And Roman, I know it's not the same, but he looks so much like Kevin McAllister if he just grew up as Kevin McAllister. Yes, I know it's his brother and all that, but I mean, doesn't look like it and kind of act like it too. Kind of like an asshole. But that's what it really feels like this whole first season was, just, you know, laying a foundation for it all, for really getting to know the characters and kind of seeing that slowly build of insurrection, I guess, against, you know, against the dad. And I can see it and I can't see it at the same time. Like, you have so much going on and you have so much money, you know, at your disposal. And honestly, it feels like it's just a greed power play is all they're really trying to do here. And that's what kind of is annoying, is kind of cool at the same time, because you're seeing, you know, at first, you know, Kendall, you know, along with the board, trying to oust the dad. And he believes he has the support. He calls for a special meeting to get this all done. And it's really something that just kind of feels like it flops. Like, it's hard to describe kind of what it feels like. But it feels like, I don't know. Almost like you're trying to go for a dive into a pool. Like, oh man, like, watch this. And it ends up being belly flop. It's kind of what it feels like. And, you know, after that, you know, after the dad finds out pretty much, you know, who's on board with him, who's not on board with him, he fires everyone who's not on board with him, including his own son. And that sends his son into, I wouldn't say a spiral, but onto a rampage of, you know, I am still the best idea person here. I am still the best at, you know, for this company. So I'm going to do what needs to be done. So he goes to the competition and says, hey, here's how we can take down my dad. Here's how we can take over the company. And, you know, through the events of season one leading season two, you kind of see this kind of power play in a way where you get to see Kendall do anything he needs to do to basically, you know, take down his dad. Because I'm not sure if for his second attempt, if his end game is to just kind of oust his dad of the board of members, or is it to, like, force a merger. But when season two kicks in, it really, you know, kind of comes with the ramifications of it all. Kind of what Kendall did, who he got in bed with, who he's shaking hands with, and pretty much his drug addiction. Kind of like what he needs to keep his focus. And I love how when the dad has Kendall, you know, by the throat, how much is a zombie Kendall becomes. A drone, in a way, is what it feels like. Where he's basically, like, you know, just read the script is what it is. It's what it feels like. You know, he goes on air to make a statement, and it is, like, the most C-listed, like, everything is going well. Everything is always great here. I don't see why anyone kind of questions this kind of tone, mentality. And throughout, I mean, from what I've seen so far in the second season, like I said, I'm not done yet. I know season three is available and season four is on the brink of coming out. So I do have some catching up to do. But first impressions of this show, it's good. It's heavy, though. That's one thing. It's not something you can binge through, or at least I can't. It's one of those, I can get an episode, maybe two in a day, before I kind of like sit back and be like, okay, what just happened and where can I go from here? Because I like to speculate. I'm one of those guys of, I love just to speculate. Like, what's going on here? What's happening? Who's that guy? You know, all that kind of stuff. So it really kind of, yeah. So if you're looking for a good show, check it out. like I said, it is heavy. So you're looking at, of course, a lot of language. There are the adult references, you know, in there, drugs, alcohol, sex, all that. Of course, it's HBO, so they'll kind of do what they need to do to kind of get people in there. So, yeah, if you're looking for a good show, Succession, it's on HBO Max, so check it out. Once again, HBO Max, if you're looking to, you know, throw a little something-something my way for, you know, shouting you out, I'm here.